We've reached Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Well, frankly, we're only going to have time for verse 6 this evening, but that'll be quite enough. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, I am a very anxious person. As those who know me, they're all laughing because they know me. And this is going to be funny. Peter preaching about anxiety. I'm an anxious person. I was an anxious child. My mother says I was an anxious child. And for once, nobody doubts what my mother said. I was probably an anxious baby. Probably as they brought me home from the hospital and laid me in the crib, I went rigid with fear and said, what am I supposed to do now? You know, began looking around me, are you sure this thing is safe? I'm not going to get my head stuck in those bars, and so on. I was probably an anxious baby for all I know. There is no one better qualified here to preach about anxiety than me, because I suffer more than probably anybody else. I'm an anxious person, born anxious. Anxiety is a fact of life, it's a fact of my life. I'm not going to tell you, don't worry, be happy, because there are good reasons to be anxious in the world. As they say, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not out to get you, you know? Anxiety is there. Tom Wright, the bishop, wrote, anxiety was a way of life in the ancient world, with so many gods and goddesses, all of them potentially out to get you for some offence you might not even know about. You never knew whether something bad was waiting for you just round the corner. So writes the good bishop, Tom Wright. I'm not saying, implying by that other bishops are not good or mediocre. I'm not making any comparative comments by calling him a good bishop. I'm not getting nervous. But I'm beginning to sound like a typical administrator today, anxious about being sued or being fired for making some undue comment. And if we live in a country where recently a park felt obliged to put up a notice advising people to beware of the falling conkers. Now, we've lived in this country for 5,000 years with horse chestnut trees, and no one up to now has ever felt the need to put up a warning sign about the conkers falling down at this time of year. But apparently now, in anxiety-ridden Britain, it's necessary. And just in case you are a teacher and you're worried about the children causing themselves serious damage and suing you for playing conkers, on the web I found the conker-proof outfit for dressing people up to play conkers, and here it is on the screen. Now, there's a helmet to protect the eyes and the face. There's a padded suit to protect the body from flying shards of conkers. There's a truss to ensure correct posture. Knee pads to protect knees when picking up conker shards, and heavy boots to stamp on opponents' conkers. There are, it looks to you like an old-fashioned diving suit. That is the conker-proof outfit for the young child about town. Okay, thank you. Anxiety is there in our world. Now, Paul knew about anxiety too. Just in case you think people ought to be laid back and not worry about anything, that's not the case. Paul worried about things. Take a look at what Paul writes. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 to 10. He says, we have this treasure of Christ in jars of clay, to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. Now read that and tell me Paul didn't get anxious. Paul got anxious sometimes. In 2 Corinthians 11, 28-29, he says, besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak, and I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin, and I do not inwardly burn? Is that anxiety, or is that anxiety? Paul knew what anxiety was. Philippians, the letter of Philippians, chapter 2, verse 27, he'd been worried about Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus, he said, was ill and almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Paul knew what anxiety was. I'm not alone in feeling anxious. I feel comforted that the Apostle Paul knew what it was like. But yet here he says, be not anxious about anything. Don't be anxious about anything. So how do you overcome anxiety? Because anxiety overtook Paul often. How did he overcome it? Well, Lightfoot, the bishop, Bishop Lightfoot, the old-time Bible commentator, described it as anxious, harassing care. Plummer called it unreasonable anxiety, which I think is a bit of a cop-out, really. Cared, and this is one I like, attempting to carry the burden of the future yourself. Attempting to carry the burden of the future yourself. Paul got anxious about the churches. He got anxious about a number of things. But he says, don't be anxious. In other words, what's he trying to avoid? And I think cared is right. Avoid attempting to carry the burden of the future yourself. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, I tell you, don't worry about your life. What you eat or drink or about your body, what you will wear, is not life more important than food and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And then he goes on to say, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life or what you will eat or drink or about your body. Oh, sorry, I had that one. On the next one, please. Yeah, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Jesus says, get on with what you've got to do and stop worrying. You kind of what my wife says to me half a dozen times a week. Yeah? Get on with what you've got to do. Seek first the kingdom of God and stop worrying. Stop being paralyzed by anxiety. Stop letting anxiety be the one controlling fact and feature of your life. Okay, anxiety comes. Don't let it stop you doing what you've got to do. Carry on with what you've got to do. Don't let it get in the way between you and God. Peter Marshall was a chaplain to the Senate in the United States. He died tragically young. And he kept telling this story. And I love the story. It's the story of Niobe, a boy who lived far to the south beyond the third cataract, and how he went on a journey to overcome his fears. Niobe had come to a village where the people were doing nothing else but moan and wail. The fires were not lit, the goats were not milked, because all the villagers were expecting to be eaten shortly by the monster on the top of the mountain. Monster had the head of a crocodile, the body of a hippopotamus, and a tail like a very fat snake, and smoke came from his fiery breath. But Niobe said, I will go up to the mountain and challenge the monster. And so up he went. But as the boy climbed and came nearer, the monster looked smaller. This is very curious indeed, he said. The further I run away from the monster, the larger it seems. And the nearer I am to it, the smaller it seems. And when the boy reached the cave, he found no monster, but a quiet little thing, as small as a frog, which purred, and he brought it home as a pet. And when the villagers saw him return, they wanted to make a hero of him for killing the monster. But he explained just what had happened, and now he had brought the monster home as a pet. What was its name? They asked. The monster answered, I have many names. Some call me famine, some pestilence, but the most pitiable of humans give me their own names. It yawned and added, but most people call me what might happen. Ralph Martin, the commentator, says, Paul had learned that the way to be anxious about nothing was to pray for everything. I think that hits it right on the head. The way Paul learned that the way to be anxious about nothing was to pray for everything. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Go through the process of praying. I love the story, wonderful story. The man, friend says, how are you doing? He said, I feel absolutely wonderful. The guy said, you were really worried the last time. He said, yeah, you know, I was consumed by worry, absolutely consumed by worry. My wife's having an affair, my children are delinquents, my business is bankrupt, my credit cards are overdrawn, my bank account is overdrawn, my house has structural cracks, my car has a burnt out engine, my neighbours are suing me, I've got three illnesses in my body, and I was consumed by worry, but I found the problem. A friend said, what's that? He said, I've hired somebody for £20,000 a year to worry for me. And now I pay him £20,000 a year, and he does all my worrying, and I feel great. And his friend said, well, where are you going to find £20,000 a year for him? He said, that's for him to worry about. Paul says, listen, you know, that's what Paul is not saying. Paul's saying, look, you've got problems, you've got anxieties. Pray about them. Pray about them. Remember the exercise we did with the string a few moments earlier? That's what this passage is all about. You've been carrying those problems around with you perhaps for weeks, perhaps for months, and you haven't quite got round to praying about them. Tonight you did. Now let's see what God's going to do. 6 months from now, let's see what your anxiety level is with those problems. It'll be a lot less, because it always is. Pray, says Paul, for everything. You get anxious. Trust me, when I got abducted at gunpoint in São Paulo in Brazil, I prayed. Prayed like I've never prayed before. I was anxious, and I prayed. And God gave me calm and peace, and allowed me to witness to my captors as I was driven around the slums of São Paulo with a gun in my ribs. Anxiety. How anxiety. You pray, God leads you through it. That's the way it works, says Paul. You pray for everything. One of my favorite comments, quotes from David Livingstone is this. In his journal, he'd been traveling through a part of Africa where the local chief was very suspicious of him and was a dangerous man and was threatening. And he'd been warned that this guy was out to get him. So January the 14th, 1856, writes David Livingstone, evening, felt much turmoil of spirits in view of having all my plans for the welfare of this great region and teeming population knocked on their head tomorrow. But I read that Jesus came and said, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. It's the word of a gentleman, of the most sacred and strictest honour, and there's an end to it. I will not cross furtively the river by night as intended. Nay, verily, I shall take observations for latitude and longitude tonight, though they may be the last. I feel quite calm now, thanks God. And during the hours of the darkness, nothing happened. And the next morning, Livingstone and his 114 men crossed the river while the chief and his warriors watched them depart. It is the word of a gentleman of the strictest honour, wrote David Livingstone. Isn't that beautiful? Max Lucado said this. Let's say a stress stirrer comes your way. The doctor decides you need an operation. She detects a lump and thinks it's best that you have it removed. So there you are, walking out of her office. You've just been handed this cup of anxiety. What are you going to do with it? You can place it in one of two pots. You can dump your bad news in the vat of worry and pull out the spoon. Turn on the fire, stew on it, stir it, mope for a while, brood for a time. Won't be long before you have a delightful pot of pessimism. Some of you may have been sipping from this vat for a long time. Your friends and family have asked me to tell you that the stuff you're drinking is getting to you. How about a different idea? The pot of prayer. Before the door of the doctor's office closes, give the problem to God. I receive your lordship, say, nothing comes to me that hasn't passed through you. In addition, stir in a healthy helping of gratitude. The pot of prayer. The pot of prayer. So says Paul. Let's go on to back to the passage. In everything, in prayer and in petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. I finish with one story about being thankful to God and giving praise to God in difficult circumstances. Catherine Marshall, the wife of Peter Marshall, the widow of Peter Marshall, wrote, told a story of what happened in 1970. We're going back to my youth now, revolutionary times. And in a church in America, the church was crowded, and a young man sitting in the corner, sitting in the center, got up and stumbled down the aisles. He'd been drinking. And he went to the front and he began to preach. "My name is Clarence," he said. "I'm a man of color and proud not to be white. Proud to be a Black Panther." He was waving a blackberry aloft. At first the pastor just allowed him to speak for a moment, but it became obvious the guy was just drunk and spilling out canned speeches of hatred and cliches. So the pastor walked over to him. Pastor put his hands around his shoulder and said, "Clarence, you're delivering your speech to the wrong people. We care about you here." And he led Clarence back to the seat, said, "See all these people out there? They love you, Clarence. Not for the usual human reasons, but because they know how much Jesus loves you." And the ushers took the guy back to his seat. And as Pastor Lou went to the pulpit, began the morning prayer. But as he began to pray, the drunken Clarence began murmuring and making a fuss and getting in the way. "Then a strange thing happened," writes Catherine Marshall. "All over the church, people began quietly praising God aloud. 'Thank you, Lord. We praise you for what's happening.' First a quiet, steady hum of voices, then a harmonious chorus of thanksgiving and praise. After a few moments of this, the chorus diminished. Finally, the voices ceased, and then everyone saw Clarence was no longer there. In the midst of all that praise and prayer, he'd slipped out of the church. He returned a few weeks later to apologize and ask for prayer. In everything with thanksgiving." And Catherine Marshall says, listen, that is the power of thanksgiving. The power of praise in anxiety and difficult circumstance. Thanksgiving turns that around and makes it different. To be anxious means that we ourselves suffer. We ourselves groan. We ourselves seek to see into the future. Thanksgiving means giving God the glory in everything, she writes. Making room for him. Casting our care on him. Letting it be his care. And if you're anxious tonight, and if the string didn't help, trust me, it helps. I know this works now. It's going to be hung from my lamp in the office 6 months from now. I'm going to look at it and I'm going to know that God's going to solve that problem. Don't know how. Can be solved. But list all the things that worry you, and then next to it a column of what you can do about it. You'll probably find that that column might be quite empty, because there's quite a lot of stuff there you can't actually do much about. But pray. But this passage says that's the point. That's the point. That's the whole point. Because prayer works. So take this from a chronic anxiety sufferer. Prayer works. I can't stop anxiety getting to me. I was born anxious. I will die anxious. I will go to heaven anxious. But I've learned to deal with it, as Paul did, through prayer and through trusting God and through thanksgiving. Let's bow our heads for a second. Band, if you'd care to join me on the platform as we pray. Father, I just want to thank you for the cares of this world. We don't live in a perfect world, and we've got to learn, Father, to bring these anxieties to you. We've got to learn to cope with anxiety, cope with the stress and problems of modern living. Lord, we've got to learn to trust in you. Lord, we've just got to learn to cast our cares on you. To worry about nothing because we pray about everything. To give thanks because we have these certainties that we wrote on the board earlier, that you always fulfill your promises, that you never leave us, that you love us, that you're good, that you're unchanging, that you're just, that your creation is fantastic. Lord, these are the truths we declared earlier. We stand on now at the close of our service, and we declare to you, we trust you. We bring our cares and our anxieties to you, and we lay them at your feet and go on trusting you, because we know that when the sun rises tomorrow, whatever changes, you will still be with us. In Jesus' name. Amen.